6 degrees of theological separation.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
Nope, it's time for Too Wretched for Radio, and a subject that is one we need to strive to figure out. It is an unwieldy topic, nevertheless. Even though we can often have moving parts, we need to understand degrees of theological separation. Phil, you and I talked about this issue at the G3 conference in a bit of an impromptu in the hallway conversation that we had about labeling people who are associated with somebody, who might be associated with somebody, who knows somebody, who once read a book by somebody who is a false teacher. And therefore, everybody in that chain is guilty of the same heresy. And we see this type of false understanding of degrees of separation a lot. And I understand why. This is a difficult subject, is it not? There just isn't a here's exactly how to identify somebody as a false teacher and anybody who associates with them as a false teacher. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. And sometimes the decisions we have to make about these things are, there is a bit of subjectivity in it, and I think we need to cut one another a little bit of slack sometimes.
A little bit. I agree. Yeah, there's times when it's like, nah, but I agree with you. There needs to be a little flexibility because not only are the parts moving, the amount of information that we all possess on a particular teacher who might associate with somebody who associates with somebody who associates with somebody, we don't know all of the details, and the parts are moving. They change from day to day. So I agree with you that there should be some grace.
Yeah, and a good rule of thumb is if you're going to be concerned with discernment, sound doctrine, and especially if you're one of those who feels the weight of responsibility to point out error where you see it, we need to continually remind ourselves that the person who's actually propagating the error, the person who is teaching the false doctrine, he's the one our criticism should be focused on. The minute we start to be more concerned about some guy who's, you know, 6 degrees of separation further away from the guy who's actually peddling the false doctrine, then I think we may have actually gotten off target a bit.
So let's try to practice degrees of separation. At what point can you say, I don't know that I should be listening to that guy because that fellow hangs with, does a conference with another fellow who does a conference with somebody else. How do we figure out associations? And let me just stress this again, Phil. I agree with you. As much as I like black and white and clean and simple, I think Christian maturity says, no, we've got to understand there are so many considerations, and the amount of knowledge that you might possess on a particular fellow might be more than mine or less. And so I've got to be a little bit slow to start shooting at everybody in the circle.
Yeah, that's right. And it isn't, sadly, it isn't all black and white. It's not always obvious. You use the expression, who should I be listening to? That's actually a different question than the question that those of us who are in ministry have to ask, especially those of us who do ministry in public, in the public eye, sometimes have to ask, who should I align myself with? Who should I participate with in conferences and things like that? It's not always the same question as, who should I listen to? Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, we talked about Michael Brown and said, you know, because of the way he fails, I think, to point out the errors, sometimes serious soul-damning errors that come from people whom he has publicly aligned himself with and had on his radio broadcast or affirmed or gone on their television broadcast or whatever. Because of his failure to actually point out grave error, dangerous error where it exists, he's dangerous in a sense as well. But if the question comes up, should I ever listen to him? He does have a good book on homosexuality and the problem of the gay rights lobby and their politics in America that it's worth reading. Sometimes he says or publishes things that are worth reading. You just have to use a great deal of discernment whether you're going to do that. And not every amateur should make those decisions. Part of the problem we have in the evangelical world today is you do have a lot of people who really aren't well equipped, either biblically or in terms of their own spiritual maturity, who think they've been appointed by God to call the shots on that kind of thing. And, you know, we all need to approach a subject like this with a little bit more humility than most of us are inclined to do. And I don't exclude myself from that either.
Yeah, it's interesting that some people, I think we've heard this many times, they have the gift of discernment. Well, and they think that they've just got a sense about somebody. Well, I think if you've got a gift of discernment, that means applying a lot of theology, a lot of thought, consulting with people, understanding what the issue is, where it fits in the theological scheme of importance. There's just a lot goes into discernment. So let us try to figure out the rules of engagement by listening to a video that was done in response, Phil, to the conversation that we had about the aforementioned Michael Brown being dangerous. And I still hold to that. In fact, I'm more persuaded of that.
Before you start that, let me say something before it gets away from my short-term memory. You mentioned people who think they have the gift of discernment, or they claim to have the gift of discernment.
Uh-huh.
I'm always a little bit wary when somebody says that, because true discernment requires wisdom and maturity. And a lot of times, and I think you see this if you hang around the discernment communities on the internet, a lot of times when people think they've got the gift of discernment, what they really have is just a hypercritical personality.
And I laugh because been there, done that. All right. This was a video that was done in response to our warning of people. Look out for Michael Brown. Phil, we did not say that Michael Brown is a heretic. His orthodoxy, I think he's confused on sola scriptura a lot, but over his Christology, his Trinitarian theology, his understanding of justification, and yet he's willing to endorse people like Bill Johnson, give them a pass, not have conversations about what I think I'm increasingly persuaded that Bill Johnson's canonic theology is very wrong. That makes Michael, in my estimation, a dangerous guy, and it seems that he's trying to be the friendly, theologically sound-sounding, kind of the tip of the spear to introduce more and more people to folks in the NAR movement.
Right, and you know, I thought we explained that pretty well when we talked about it. Perhaps we still left a little confusion in people's mind. To say he's dangerous or that he's not a safe guide is not necessarily to say that he himself is a heretic, or to say that he's guilty of the errors that he, you know, fails to expose. I'm not impugning him with the guilt of every heretic who happens to be a friend of his. I'm just saying to people, look, don't take his word for whom it's safe to listen to and whom it's not. He's not a careful judge of those things.
And you know what I think is helpful? If, let's just say, Michael Brown had the same theology that he currently holds, but he was associating with Mormons. He did conferences with Mormons. When you brought up a critique of Mormonism, he would say, yeah, you know, they're nice people. They love Jesus in their own way. And you know, I've talked to them about some of their excesses, but, you know, they're really wonderful people. You'd go, wait a second. Do you not understand Mormonism? What exactly? And I think that's the way we need to see the NAR. They're an aberrant movement. They're outside of orthodoxy. And somebody who defends it should cause us to wonder what in the world is going on. Now, the reality is, Phil, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know that. But what I do know is somebody who would defend Mormons because they're just maybe a little excessive in some areas is not somebody that I would recommend. That's what we meant by calling Michael Brown dangerous. A fellow who goes by the handle Service Christi, a servant of Christ, he responded to the conversation that we had about Michael. And Phil, he agreed with us, but he took us to task because he thought we were being inconsistent. Now, we did our best to chop down about a 40-50 minute presentation, a critique that basically stated, Phil, you and I are practicing a double standard. we're warning people about Michael Brown because Michael Brown associates with false teachers, but we don't practice what we preach. I want to listen to this. He's going to require some explanation and I think some fundamental corrections. But let's use this then to try to work through the issue of degrees of separation, because that I think would be a profitable conversation. The gist of it is this. Phil, you wrote about Rick Warren, critiquing Rick Warren, bad teacher, shouldn't consume his stuff. Well, John Piper associates with Rick Warren. John MacArthur associates with John Piper. And you, Phil, associate with John MacArthur. So you should not associate with John MacArthur or John Piper because of his association with Rick Warren. I think that's kind of the gist of it. This is Service Christi.
So he's very sorry and disappointed that John Piper would align himself with a gospel-deprived person like Rick Warren. But in his assessment of Michael Brown, Phil Johnson warns us to stay away from him.
And so he sets it up. You, Phil, are, well, you're being a hypocrite.
Well, I mean, I don't see an exact parallel between those two situations either. That was a response, what I wrote about, and in fact, I encourage people to look that up because it was a pretty carefully worded blog post that I wrote about the Rick Warren, John Piper connection. I think that was the title. If you just Google my name and Rick Warren and John Piper, that blog post will come up because it got quite a bit of traffic at the time. That was my response to Dr. Piper's decision to have Rick Warren speak at his conference. And I did think that it was a bad decision, and I said so. But to say that John Piper associates with Rick Warren seems to me to be making an awful lot out of what happened one time. It's not like the two of them go around and do conferences together. It's not like if you read John Piper's books or listen to his sermons, he's going to be constantly quoting and promoting Rick Warren. That was a one-time thing. And if that kind of thing were continuing, yeah, I think the concern I would express would be a little more urgent than what I actually did write in that article. But there's nothing inconsistent.
All right. So here's a rule of discernment. When a person associates with a bad teacher, what is the consistency of that association? What does that association look like? How regular is it? That's what I just heard you say, that there can be a difference. Michael Brown, who is constantly running with the NAR folks, promoting them, having them as guests on his radio program, doing endorsements, is different than a John Piper inviting Rick Warren one time, correct?
Right. That's right. Now, in fairness, though, I also said in that blog post that I think there is a pattern of John Piper making bad decisions about who to invite to his conferences. There was a string of three or four times in a row where I thought John Piper had deliberately invited people who he knew didn't agree with him. And I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish. I don't think it's fair to assume that he had some sinister purpose in it, but I didn't think it was a good or safe thing to do. Since then, Dr. Piper has made himself a regular at the Passion Conference, which is loaded with a bunch of speakers whom I don't approve. So if somebody asked me today, I would probably say, yeah, I don't think John Piper is a totally safe guide for who to listen to. He certainly got better theology and better ideas than Michael Brown, but there is a similarity there. And I think in both cases, it's rooted in their charismatic convictions, their continuationist convictions.
All right. Now, could I toss this in too? Because I'm sort of hearing this with degrees of separation and a difference, let's just say, with Michael Brown associating with Bill Johnson, Mike Bickle, Heidi Baker, Shay Ahn, Lou Engel. Those folks in that movement, this kind of hurts me a little bit, but they're a little different than Rick Warren. Associating with Rick Warren versus associating with Heidi Baker, who falls on the ground laughing right and twitching, even that is a different association.
Yeah, that's right. It's a fair point that there are different problems with Rick Warren, and I think they're serious problems, so I don't want to underplay them. But if you lined up, you know, Rick Warren with Bill Johnson and ask me who's the bigger false teacher? Who's the more dangerous false teacher? I would say at the moment I'd have to go with Bill Johnson.
All right. Let me keep playing. Now, this is from Service Christi. The idea is, Phil, for us to work through degrees of separation. And here's what we're hearing already. There are some rules, but there are also some nuances. So let's continue now with Service Christi calling you, Phil, a hypocrite.
We have a double standard set, don't we, Mr. Johnson? Now, perhaps he forgot that he wrote this article about Rick Warren, but here, a few days ago, he is pretty dogmatically asserting that Michael Brown is guilty despite his affirmations of orthodox tenets of Christianity. He is guilty of the same heresy of his partners in ministry, which is in fact a correct assertion. I'm wondering why, though, Phil,
okay,
and Todd,
okay,
the double standard.
You got to stop it there.
Yep.
Because that isn't a correct assertion, and it's not what I said. He's misrepresenting me. I did not say that Michael Brown is guilty of the same heresies of the people he affiliates with.
The end.
He has totally misunderstood my position. But I think it lies at the root of why he holds this view. If he assumes that to fellowship with somebody who's teaching an error is to make you guilty of that error, if that's the assumption he makes, then there is no end to the chain of people you must separate from, because anybody who then affiliates with Michael Brown, I'd be obliged to separate from him as well. And if I didn't do that, then in fact, this is the argument he's making with regard to John MacArthur and who else was it you said? John Piper, the Together for the Gospel
Matt
guys.
Matt Chandler, etc.
Right. Then that means if he's correct and I'm wrong, then you're also in sin for fellowshipping with me. And there's no end to the chain of relationships you must break. That just simply goes against everything Scripture says about unity in the church. And I've read some of this fellow Service Christi, his stuff. He has actually written against the idea of unity. He thinks people use unity as a cloak for, you know, bad associations and that sort of thing.
All right. Now, Phil, this is what I do know about you. You, sir, believe that your wife, Darlene, should dishonor her father and should dance at the gymnasium dance in a very, very sexual way. Do you know how I know that, Phil? You know I know that about you?
I give up.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you, sir, like everybody else on the planet, have 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. You know somebody who knows 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 Kevin Bacon. Therefore, you agree with Kevin Bacon in the movie Footloose and that the father should be disobeyed and the daughter should be allowed to go to the dance and dance inappropriately. Therefore, you affirm Footloose. You see what I just did to you? And that is what we're talking about.
That is exactly it. And if anybody doesn't understand the reference to 6 degrees, it's a theory that everyone in the world is somehow connected to everybody else in the world by no more than 6 degrees of separation, that someone you know knows someone you know, so that it's possible, theoretically, to make a chain of relationships that connects any two people on the planet with somebody else. And it's uncanny how that works. And early on in the days of the internet, somebody chose Kevin Bacon as the sort of
6 degrees of
you
Bacon.
Know, example of that in Hollywood. Yeah, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And so they had cataloged all the movies he'd ever been in and all the movies anybody had ever been in. And so if you wanted to find out what is the connection between Kevin Bacon and, say, Cary Grant, it would usually be even less than 6, 3 or 4. He was in a movie with this guy who was in a movie with that guy who was in a movie with, you know, Cary Grant. And
yeah,
within 3 degrees, you're connected. And it does work that way, especially in the Christian community as well. And if the notion is that you can't affiliate with anybody who has a relationship with somebody who's connected to somebody who once affiliated with somebody who taught heresy, then in effect, and this is precisely what happens practically, in effect, you have to cut yourself off from all Christian
from
fellowship.
Everybody.
My
yeah,
guess
that's right.
is My guess is, and this fellow who did the video is anonymous, so I don't know him, I don't know who he is, but I would be very surprised to discover that he is an active member in leadership in any church or ministry anywhere, unless he's the pastor of his own, you know, living room-sized flock. Typically, people who hold the rigid views this guy is espousing, ultimately, they can't even go to church because they can't find a church where they would be free from any kind of association that, you know, 6 degrees later is going to be an embarrassment to them. So they cut themselves off from all other Christians.
But having said that, Phil, I agree with everything that you just said. Having said that, that doesn't mean that there aren't times where it's like, uh-oh, that association, that's a bad one and we need to warn about it. We just need to figure it out a little bit more thoughtfully and not do this domino sort of application of everybody who's associated in any way, shape, or form is also guilty.
That's right. And none of us should desire to either condemn or separate from another Christian in a hasty way. There is a process that you have to go through, you know, before you make the decision that, look, I just cannot publicly fellowship with this guy.
Here's another rule, Phil, because I think we might be hearing this coming up in this next clip. Different Christians might ultimately reach a conclusion on somebody at a different time because of amount of information, perhaps their history with that particular teacher. So, you know, before you shoot at everybody who doesn't agree with you at the moment, sometimes waiting to see how it plays out can also be one of the moving pieces in this issue of degrees of separation. So let me share this clip from Service Christi, and I think we're going to hear 6 degrees of separation in action.
So who won't you find together with John MacArthur? Interesting, these points that you've made, Todd and Phil, because we have standing right next to John MacArthur at the Together for the Gospel conference coming up in just 3 months, folks. This is this year's schedule, April of 2018, you have none other than John Piper, friend of Passion Conference, Francis Chan, Rick Warren, etc. You have David Platt. You know who David Platt's friends with? Let's go to his website. The first thing you're going to see on the website, David Platt and Francis Chan. How about that?
All right. Francis Chan has now been endorsing people in the NAR, specifically Mike Bickle and IHOP. It looks like at David Platt's website, he just resigned from being the head of the North American Mission Board. The president, I believe, was his International Mission Board, and he's going to pastor a church in Virginia. He, on his website, is doing a video with Francis Chan. Francis Chan has been doing conferences with IHOP and Mike Bickle. David Platt, therefore, endorses Francis Chan. John MacArthur is at a conference with David Platt. Therefore, John MacArthur endorses Francis Chan. That's how I reasoned through what this fellow just said. Is he right?
No, he's not right. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. If you follow that line of reasoning, then you have to say anyone who's ever been affiliated with John MacArthur is therefore also tainted, and that would include me. And
well, let me just, in an effort to try to work through this. All right, Francis Chan is currently, now see, here's where all of these things need to come in play. Francis Chan is Orthodox on paper, all right? He does, best of my knowledge, he's never preached anything remotely that looks like heresy. But he said, quote, "I love Mike Bickle. I love that guy. He was warned not to go to IHOP. He went, and then he even returned a second time. And it appeared that it's like, hey, you kind of do some stuff I don't do, but we're all Christians together. Phil, you and I would recognize IHOP is an aberrant mess. Francis Chan embraces them. David Platt appears to, let's just say, embrace Francis. So how do we just dismiss David from that when we won't give it the same pass to Michael Brown? What's the difference?
The better question, I mean, the parallelism I see here is between Francis Chan, who has been to IHOP and verbally and vocally and enthusiastically affirmed them. He's the one who's in a parallel position with Michael Brown, not David Platt. I don't know what David Platt's position with regard to IHOP is, but the fact that he's friends with Francis Chan doesn't automatically mean that he is affirming IHOP. It would concern me greatly to discover that David Platt thinks IHOP is okay, but I don't have any evidence of that.
So this is what I think needs to happen. With that, if we're concerned that David Platt is now somehow endorsing IHOP, and therefore John MacArthur is endorsing IHOP because Francis Chan does and David Platt does by association, and John MacArthur is doing a conference with David Platt, we need to talk to David Platt. That's what we need to do. Because we just don't know.
Right.
He's a busy guy. He knows that Francis graduated from a very fine seminary. Maybe he's heard none of this. I don't know. So this is another one of those times where you go, we need to talk to the person and we need to give it some time because I don't know what he knows.
Yeah. Plus, is there anybody out there who actually wonders what John MacArthur's position is with regard to IHOP?
Yeah.
I mean, has he been the least bit unclear about that? So why would anyone be obliged to separate from John MacArthur just because he spoke at a conference where, you know, John Piper was one of the other speakers?
That's because Service Christi said so.
Well, if that's true, Todd Friel, and I agree with you that it is, John MacArthur is these people.
See, that's just irrational. But okay, you know.
Okay. Now, this I think that this is somewhat helpful. These situations require a little bit more delicacy than automatic assumptions. For instance, let's just say that Francis Chan has somehow persuaded David Platt that IHOP isn't so bad. And let's just say that just happened after John MacArthur accepted the invitation. Oh, that would change things. Now, let's say John MacArthur now is aware that David Platt endorses IHOP because Francis Chan persuaded him and he's going to a conference. Is it possible, now this is all hypothetical note, is it possible that John MacArthur is now going to use that conference to speak privately to David Platt about his error? Yeah, it is. And then maybe David is going to go, you know what, Dr. MacArthur, I wasn't aware of that. I need to do some more research. I'm going to be traveling to Japan, but in a few weeks I'll get to that. In the meantime, isn't it possible? If we would go about saying John MacArthur is still guilty, David Platt is still, we don't know that stuff is going on. And so we need to think, what could possibly be going on behind the scenes that I'm not aware of? I know John MacArthur. You rightly state we know where he stands on the issue. Come on, he's been in ministry 49 years, faithfully preaching the word. Do we really think that he's endorsing IHOP? We need to remember there are moving parts to this, things going on behind the scenes that we could not be aware of that would maybe keep us from taking our gun out of our holster and shooting everybody to pieces.
Yeah. Now, Todd, I'm admittedly more of a separatist than most of the people I know. I'm pretty careful about who I affiliate with publicly and all of that. I'm a separatist. And yet, I am wary of someone who thinks so much of the doctrine of separation, the idea that we should be separated from people who are affiliated with bad teachings, to the degree where you would publicly rebuke someone you've never even spoken of who or spoken to, who, like John MacArthur, has made his position on the charismatic issue clear, and yet you're ready to write him off because you see that he's speaking at a conference where somebody else is speaking at a conference where some guy is friends with a guy who spoke at the IHOP conference or whatever. That sort of extreme separatism is what killed the fundamentalist movement and drove them away from mainstream evangelicalism in the middle of the 20th century or thereabout. And then in the second half of the 20th century, the fundamentalist movement ate itself up over this very issue. I did a lecture on this in 2005 at the Shepherd's Conference, and I think it's still online. It's called Dead Right. I forget the subtitle, but it's something about the fundamentalist movement. And one of the things I discussed pretty thoroughly was the doctrine of separation and the way it was abused and misapplied by fundamentalists. And one of my main complaints is that Fundamentalists got to the point in the end of the 20th century where they made separation the primary test of fellowship. And if you weren't properly separated from all the people who were on the bad list, then you'd get separated from. And yeah, so it meant that the fundamentalist movement fragmented. When they ran out of people to fight with, they fought with each other. And the way I said it was, they got to a point where they were willing to separate from people without due process. There is a due process that needs to be followed if you're going to discredit or publicly attack someone who is, you know, doctrinally friendly to the position you hold.
Now, this might be at the risk of being repetitious and redundant and saying the same thing again. But let's imagine as a scenario, there's a teacher named Bob. Bob is Orthodox. Everybody loves Bob. And so let's just say here at Wretched Radio, we played clips of Bob. And we said, this is one of our favorite preachers. We love Bob. Well, Bob, the years go by. He becomes a little bit wonky and he demonstrates he's at least in a category of we probably don't want to be promoting the fellow. Nobody's labeling him a heretic, but just better to not be leading people in that direction. So we discontinue playing snippets of Bob, one of our favorite preachers. But somebody goes back into the archives, they listen to an old show, and they hear Bob. And they immediately go, aha, Wretched loves Bob, who's a false teacher. Now, I share that because do you see the kind of the information that could be missing that would cause somebody to make a misjudgment about our position regarding Bob? Now, I share that as an example because, frankly, that's happened multiple times here. There were good guys that we've played and they get a little bit, and we pull them, but they're still in the archives and people think, therefore, we continue to endorse them. We don't.
Yeah, it happens everywhere all the time.
Sadly, but my point in all of that, I'm not crying foul. That's not my point. I wanted to use it as an illustration to show, before you jump on it, when you're dealing with somebody like a John MacArthur, you know them as being solid and sound, and yet there's something, instead of going, that's it, I knew they were heretics too, you go, there must be some reason for that. There's got to be an explanation for that. Now, if you don't get your explanation for that, or if that trend becomes more of a pattern, it's not a one-off, it becomes more, then you can increasingly dial up your discernment filter. You can increasingly consider how much meat do I dare to eat because there's more and more bones all the time until you ultimately go, no. All of this to say, there are times when we do indeed need to separate. But before we do, with brothers that are Orthodox, let us do it slowly and thoughtfully and lovingly and carefully, remembering all of these moving parts.
Amen to that.
That's it. You mean I get an amen from Phil Johnson?
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Stop doing it.
Phil, have you gone mental?
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?